God is good, isn't he? Man, how many's enjoying this? Man, what a God. How many's learned something new this week?
Amen.
Yeah, if you hadn't yet been listening. Man, he's tearing our theology all apart, but I love it. Amen. When God just blows your mind with a word, isn't that wonderful? And his word is alive. It ought not surprise us that every time we pick it up, we learn something new. So I appreciate, thank you, Brother Snow, for doing the worship tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to turn it over to Brother Ryan, and who I don't know what you guys have planned, but come on, let's do it. Amen.
Well, I don't know what we got planned either, so we'll just get started and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Smile at me. If you're happy to be here, notify your face. There you go. It's going to be a good night. I feel like we're just kind of getting started. So we've talked it over. We're going to extend this another 20 days. So if you guys want to come every night. Just kidding. But we're just getting started, huh? Good. I hope that there's a fire lit and you guys take off running. And that Oklahoma knows that you guys are here. It's been good. I've got a good word for tonight. I was actually going to preach something different, and I changed it about 30 minutes ago. So I know it's good. Or else we'll see what happens. First off, we've got a testimony, though. You guys want to hear a testimony?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a testimony? Yeah. All right, so we were here today. We've been here at the campground for several days. It was raining a lot. There's no internet here. And so that's not the testimony. I mean, we made it through. That is a testimony. You put some city slickers in the middle of Oklahoma in the jungle with no internet. I mean, praise God, here we are. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, we went to Walmart. Every day we're looking forward to go to Walmart. That's our time to get out. So we head to Walmart, and it's just a fun time. I mean, what other place can you go and get, like, a loaf of bread, a drink, and a kayak in the same spot? Amen. Just love the Walmart. But we ended up getting Monopoly. So we had a lot of Monopoly battles, and Chris was winning. But I just want to share a testimony that I dominated him today. Amen? So thank you. I know God is good. Just wanted to share that with you so you could all get excited about that. It's good to laugh. You know that? I've got four kids. I'm super excited to go back and see them. But there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you guys. We're actually going to start driving home, and we'll drive through the night, so be praying for us. I'm going to try to make it back in for my daughter's dance recital tomorrow. So I'm going to do my best and stay awake with these guys. But we'll pull over if we need to. But so my daughter, when we were real, she was real little. Everybody have kids here? All right. So you probably know this kind of stuff. But when they're little, you tuck them in, you pray with them, and then you just kind of talk a little bit. And she was probably two. And I was just talking with her a little bit. And I was like, Taylor. And she was making this sound. I'm like, what's that? That's a horse sound. So well, what does a cow say? And she goes, moo. You ever do that with your kids? I'm like, what does a duck say? Quack, 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 quack. So we're going through all this. What does a sheep say? It was just cool to see that she knew this kind of stuff. And by the end, I come up, I'm like, oh, what does a donkey say? And she goes, Trek! Trek! All right, we watched too much TV. That's good. True story. Did you guys enjoy Mark last night?
Yeah.
So Mark shared a powerful message. We've been building a lot of foundation. After that, I talked about getting results in your finances. Tonight, I want to talk about getting results in life. I want to show you some steps to get some horsepower. Because it's very easy to just hear great messages and never hear the how-to of it. And you're just like, well, that's great in theory. But how does that apply to my life, or what do I do with that? You know, you want me to be blessed, or you want me to be healed, or you want me to, God wants it, but how? And so I want to go through some of that today, and hopefully it will help a lot of people. Hopefully it'll help everybody. But I know that it should open up some eyes. We're going to touch on some of the stuff that we've talked about through the week. So if you haven't been here, I'll recap a little bit and hit some of that. But I want to show how to get results in your everyday life through four different steps that I've found and studied out. And it's very powerful when you look up these, and then you start to study it, and then you put it into practice. And so I want to show you some of this. Getting results in life. There's four things that you need to do. First is change how you think. Second is know who you are. Third is change how you pray. And then four is believe. So we're going to go through those just a little bit. Hopefully this blows your mind in a good way. All right. This is where we talked a little bit, and Mark touched on this yesterday, about changing your mind. We know in Romans 12:2, it talks about do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's very important to be renewed in your mind every single day. There's a gift of faith. Did we talk about a gift of faith a little bit? No. Good. So there's a gift of faith that is in the Bible, that there is, it's a spiritual gift. Some people have the gift of faith. Other people, like me, do not. I do not have a gift of faith. So what do you do to get faith if you don't have that gift of faith? You renew your mind every single day to the Word of God. I have this friend, and I think I told this at your church, but he is like, has a gift of faith. We're in Minnesota, and he's like, first time in Minnesota, he's like, I just want to see a timber wolf. I'm like, well, we've lived in Minnesota our whole life, and we haven't seen a timber wolf. And he's like, well, I'm God's favorite. I'm just so excited to see a timber wolf. God just loves me so much. He wouldn't have brought me up here and not show me a timber wolf. I'm like, we've been here for like 30-some years. We haven't seen a timber wolf. You're not going to see a timber wolf. He's like, no, brother, we'll see a timber wolf. It's so good. And a timber wolf pulls a deer carcass onto the road and off the road. And I'm like, I hate you. I mean, what? You know those people that just irritate you as Christians? Like, we're Christians, we believe, but then there's that guy next to you who's like, it's going to be all right. You're like, but there's a tornado coming. This is Oklahoma. It'll be all right, but it's taking out your house and barn. Hey, it'll be fine. Insurance has got us. But what about your kids, your family? Ah, God's good. He's got it. And you're like, oh, I don't want to be around you anymore. There's people that just have a gift of faith. For the rest of us, we're like, oh, it is going to be bad. Run away, run and hide. Any. But we got to renew our mind every single day to the Word of God. And see, the Word even says it's not about just the Word that transforms you. The Word will transform you, amen? But it's not just about the Word. It's the Word that you hear and grab for yourself. And so it's the Word that you attach to. You can hear all day long and be like, well, that's great. That's good. I don't believe that. Great, well, then it won't work for you. You know, I love working with some of the denominations that they'll hear a message, like, I don't believe in that. It's never happened to me. Sounds like it's working. The signs follow those who believe. You don't believe, it's not following you. The Bible works. I don't believe, but don't believe. Great, you're seeing the results that you're believing for. Your faith is working perfect. Great. What else do you want to believe for? Why don't you try for something small then? You're believing for nothing, and nothing is coming. Praise God. Faith is working. So you change, you renew your mind. In Ephesians 4:22, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, that the old man grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed again in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on a new man. Everybody say new man.
Amen.
Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, it's not just enough. You're going to be renewed every single day. Like you're being renewed by something. I can tell when it's not the Word of God. If I go turn on the news for a while, it's very, very easy for me to be like, oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, this is depressing. What do you mean? Like, it's very easy to get down. You just scroll through Facebook and listen to some of your friends talk. You're like, I just want to go sit in my bed and cry. Like, it's that bad. Like, people are depressing. So if you're not renewing your mind to the Word, what are you renewing your mind to? Because you're being influenced by something. So the very first thing is to renew your mind. First and foremost, if you do any of these four, like if you don't have all four, you do any three, it still doesn't work to get results. It really won't. Let me show you this. So renewing your mind is number one. And then why do you renew your mind? It's for number two, so you can know who you are. If you don't renew your mind, you won't know who you are in Christ. And that's so important to know who you are in Christ because it changes everything. We've talked about that a lot, about knowing who you are in Christ this week. It's been powerful, and hopefully you guys got revelation through that. But knowing who you are in Christ. Let me read some scripture about that. Did you know that we are a three-part being? Amen? Everybody knows that? Okay, so say this with me. We are a spirit.
We are a spirit.
We have a soul.
We have a soul.
And we live in a body.
We live in a body.
It's very important to know it and in that way. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We are not this body. We are not this soul. What is your spirit? It is the God part, the God-breathed part of you. What's more real, the supernatural or the natural? What spoke what into existence? You know, did the world create God and speak God, the supernatural, into existence? No, it was the other way around. My spirit can live without this body, but my body, if the spirit left, would just fall to the ground. Like, just, you cannot be without you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions, and that's what tries to run you. So you hear a lot of worship that's run by your emotions. You know, God, we are nothing. Thank you for making us nothing. Come and help us. Like, it's just how I'm feeling at the time, God. And there's no spiritual Bible basis background at all. It's just, this is how I feel at the time. And so there's a lot of worship that's done like that. But we are a body. And so your body is pretty neutral, right? Your mind, will, and emotions want to take you off into left field all the time. And your spirit wants to go after God. So you've got this battle on the body. Do you know that? And whatever you feed wins. You got two dogs in a fight. Whichever gets fed wins. You starve one, he's not going to win. So we talked about this a little bit, but fasting. You know, I did fasting so wrong for my whole life. I thought that it was to get God's attention. That's so religious.
Come on now. Come on.
That is so religious. Because I'm thinking that if I starve myself, I will get God's attention, and then he will answer my prayer. Well, the Pharisees did that. They'd throw dust on themselves and ashes and tear their clothes and stand outside the gates and yell these big prayers, and they thought that that would get God's attention. We have God's attention. We have God living on the inside of us. You know, why did Jesus fast? Was he trying to get closer to God? No, he was fully God and fully man. He wasn't trying to get closer to God. He was killing his flesh because he was headed to the cross. So think about this. If your soul tells your flesh what to do all the time, it tells you when you're tired, when you're hungry, what you want to eat, if you need a nap, if you, whatever, I'm feeling sick today, your body is telling you everything. And we listen to it. So then we get a revelation of the word. Amen? We get a revelation of who we are in Christ, and all of a sudden, we think that we're going to tell our body to do something when we spent 40 years listening to it. It doesn't happen. So how do we do that? We fast. So what is that? You deny your flesh for a bit. You say no to the flesh. Oh, it just hurts. I'm hungry. No, you listen to me. But I just want one sandwich. No, listen to me. But what about some Mountain Dew? How about Mountain Don't? That's like a Chris Baker joke. But think about it. We listen to our body all the time. It runs us around. When we're tired, we're tired. And then we get this revelation and we're like, you know, I just command life into this body. And your body's like, are you kidding? I tell you what to do. We're tired. Let's go to bed. Okay. Wait, we want a sandwich first. Okay. But some ice cream after. Okay. Body, I command you to be healed. What are you talking about? I tell you what to do. So we've got to discipline our flesh. It's true. And so knowing who we are in that those three-part beings, if you can get your body to line up with the spirit and what the Word says, you'll have victory. So you might have to tell yourself no on some things. Because here's the facts. If there's a sickness or a disease or something that you're struggling with that you can live with, you will. When it's something that is life and death, we go to war on it. And we see miracles. But if it's something that we can live with, like, I got a sprained ankle. Well, I'm just going to hobble around on it for the next 3 weeks. Well, I got cancer and they give me 2 weeks. God, I need a miracle and I need it now. And I've seen so many people come back from that. And they push through to victory because it's life and death. My mom, she helps us at all of our youth conferences. I'm kind of a mama's boy. But my mom helps with all of our youth conferences. But about 13 years ago, she was in a car accident. And where the car, they were driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour. Somebody pulled out in front of them, flipped the car over several times, and they ended up in the ditch upside down. Well, her seatbelt didn't work and broke her back. And so the ambulance is coming. They're not sure she's going to live. They're pulling her out, got her on a stretcher, taking her to the hospital. I get the phone call. You got to go to the hospital. There's an accident. It's bad. Can you tell me anything else? No, get to the hospital. Well, that's a perfect time for me to be driving, you know, in the state that I'm in. You know, let's just, who knows what's happening? So we get to the hospital, and they find out that her vertebrates and stuff are broken. She's in a back brace and a neck brace, but she pulls through. But half of her body now is now numb. She can't feel half of it, and now she's in just torture. And this side is freezing. This side is burning at all times. So she has a blanket on to sleep on this side of her body, or on this side, and the other one is out with a fan on it. And that's what she just has to do because it's all of her nerves. And so she's on about 10 or 12 different medications, and they're telling her that this isn't going to get better. And she gets her back brace off. Things aren't quite better. She's sore, can't stand for very long, anything like that. And she's functioning, but I said, Mom, we've got to start praying against this, and we've got to command this gone. Jesus paid for it. And she said to me, that's selfish. It's not us. It's God. And if he wants to heal me, he will. I said, Mom, Jesus paid for it all. He wants us healed. He gave us that power. I'd show her scripture. I said, we're supposed to command this gone in Jesus' name. And she's like, that's selfish prayer. I can't do that. It's not me. And if it's a dangerous road that you're walking. She said, if you're taking credit for what God did, he's going to get you for that. I'm like, Mom, it's not me taking any credit. It's God through us. Like, he's empowered us to do this. And it was a 2-3 year fight. And finally she said to me, she called me, and she's like, I've been reading, and I may not believe it all right now, but I need to believe it now because I have no other option. I can't live like this anymore. I just want to be done with it, be done with everything. I can't live like this. I'm in pain all the time. She said, I'm going to believe like that and do that. And within 6 months, she was off of every medication. Her nerves were totally healed. She's walking around, and now she comes to every single youth conference and runs around the place helping us out. It was just shifting her thinking into what Jesus had done and believing for it. Because if we can live with it, we will. If there's a headache, when's the last time you prayed over a headache? No, we'll just run to go get Tylenol. And I don't have anything wrong. If there's something that the doctor can fix, we'll run to the doctor. If there's something, and I have no problem with doctors. Amen. God bless his doctor. There's godly doctors. You can get very, very religious with this teaching. Because right then you're like, well, you're in sin if you're going to the doctors. Oh, you're not in faith. And you can get very religious on it. And I'm against that. There's freedom in Jesus. Amen. And so if you're dealing with something, that's fine. We stand with you. And if you need to go to the doctor, praise God. Let's bless the doctor's hands. You know, God bless the people that made prescriptions that help. Amen? So there's no persecution on that. But what I'm saying is, our first reaction is to run for man's help instead of God's help. And if we can live with it, we will. Until it's something serious where it's life and death, and then we run to God. And then we'll see a breakthrough, or it's too late. Because it takes a while to train our mind. You know, there's so many different types of healing in the Bible. You know, Jesus was there. Sometimes you're like, well, it's only Jesus that heals. Well, what about when Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Like, he didn't even know who touched me. He just felt the faith leave. Like, the woman with faith grab onto his cloak and believe and was healed instantly. And he said, your faith has made you healed. What about the father who's coming up and says, my daughter is back at home. Did that girl have faith? She didn't even know it was happening. She's laying there dying. He said, just say the words and it'll go. It was this man's faith that made his daughter healed. There's so many things. Jesus said many times, your faith has made you healed. There's just different things like, hey, get up and walk to somebody that was standing there and they didn't even know who Jesus was and they found him in the temple later. It wasn't his faith. He didn't even know. There's so many different parts. And then you read that there is a gift of healing and a gift of miracles. And I really believe that that is because God gave us all the same Holy Spirit, gave us all the word, paid for healing, paid for all of it. But it is a process in our mind. And if God didn't give a gift of healing, people would die because it's a process. You know, if you walk into a desert for 40 years and you finally get revelation that you're going the wrong way, it takes a while to come on back. Right? So if we walk down a certain way in a certain mindset, we get a revelation. Sometimes it takes time to get out instead of just an instant, I got it. And then it all lines up. Because again, our bodies told us what to do for so long. And so realizing how many different ways that God gave for healing. Then the disciples, their shadow is touching people and people are healed. They pray over handkerchiefs and send them. That will mess with your religion. But I thought that 1 + 1 = 2. There's this one girl I was praying over one time. It is super hard for smart people to get this because we like to have answers for everything. Faith is so hard because you can't mathematically figure it out. That the smarter you are, the bigger struggle this is. And I was talking to this one girl and I could see that, and the Lord spoke that to me. And I said, I'm just like you. And she's like, what? I said, you think that 1 + 1 = 2, and you can understand that, but in the spirit, 1 + 1 = yellow. And she's like, I don't get that. I'm like, I know. It's different. It'll mess with your mind. It's things that you think about God aren't exactly that way, and it just takes faith to believe his word and not get it figured out up here. If you can figure out God, he's not God. I've got him all figured out. No, you're not going to figure it out. It takes faith. You hear the word, renew your mind, and then you apply faith to it. So there's many, many different ways of healing. But knowing who you are, let me read this to you. We renew our mind so that we can know who we are. Three-part being. Let me show you this, though. In John 4, in 17 and 18. I love this. If you don't love this, you're in the wrong meeting. This is good. John 4, 17 and 18, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
Boldness in the day of judgment? You get that? We can have boldness in the day of judgment because as is he, so are we in this world.
Yeah.
That will mess with religion all day long. As is he, so are we where? In this world, not in heaven, not one day, not some time. As is he, so are we in this world. That will mess with you. So are we in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. I can attest to that. But he who fears has been But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In Ephesians 1 and 13, it says this, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Everybody say sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee of our inheritance. And Mark talked about that last night, that we're guaranteed our inheritance now, that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee now, until the redemption of our purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's so strong, because once we know who we are in Christ, man, that religion tries to fight us so bad. Every time, and especially with healing, we think, well, what did I do wrong? I've got to figure out something different. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do, and it's all about you, all about you, all about you. And it should be all about Jesus. You can only be healed because of Jesus. You are only saved because of Jesus. You are only redeemed and righteous because of Jesus. You are the righteousness of Christ because of Jesus. And if we don't renew our mind, and this is where the devil will try to play games with us all the time. You hear it in church, nonstop. Think of this saying. I am a sinner saved by grace. Well, what are you, a sinner or saved by grace? Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you can't be a sinner and saved by grace. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. My word says that, the Bible says that you are the righteousness of Christ, saved by grace. So now I'm no longer a sinner, that he remembers the sin no more, that they are cast as far as the east is from the west, and I do not remember them. So now you are the righteousness of Christ, saved by grace. But we still talk about, well, we're a sinner saved by grace. Why? Because we don't know who we are in Christ. We can't comprehend what he's done for us, and that it was him that did it instead of us that do it. We still want to participate in everything. We still want to, yeah, but if I do this and this and this, then it's going to work for me. Well, to get my healing, I've just got to read more. I've got to spend more time with God. I've got to speak in tongues more often. I've got to do this and this, this. No. Calm down. It's him. It's him. The Bible talks a lot about entering into his rest. What is his rest? That's the shalom that we talked about, that he paid it all, that Jesus left us his peace, his prosperity, his health, his wellness, his everything. That is the rest. You are in Jesus, you are in peace, you are in rest. If you're not in the world, you have tribulation, it says. So if you can realize there's a place of rest, but watch what it says. It says you labor to enter into his rest.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You've got to work to get into rest? Yeah, you do. Because the rest spot of knowing that Jesus paid it all is hard. Because we try to enter into that, and then doubt and fear comes, and we're like, well, I know that he paid it, but I'm still struggling with this, so I still do this. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm backslidden. I need to come down and repent again and get re-saved again. I need to, and it's you and you and you again, instead of you got to work renewing your mind every day to get in the spot of rest. Does that make sense? We labor to get back into the spot of, he's paid it all. He's paid it all. This looks bad. It's fine. But he paid it all. And so we got to watch what we even say. I hear this all the time from people. All the time. Like, and I'll get there during prayer. Or in the fourth part. I want to save it to there. See, the devil is trying to define you by your actions, and God is defining you by his son. Every single time that the devil will put something on you, you know, we think that we're a sinner. Sin doesn't make you a sinner. Think about that.
Yeah.
You're the righteousness of Christ. You can still sin and, you know, still struggle, and you may not reach your 30, 60, or 100-fold because sin is holding you back in life. But we like to point out everybody's sin and define them by what they've done. And God looks at us and defines us by what his son did. Oh, it's different. It'll mess with you because we want to look at every little thing we do and define ourselves by that. Well, you don't know what I did and you don't know. Well, you don't know what he did.
Amen.
You don't know what he paid for. It was a high price. And And we go right back to the law. Because what was the law? The law was you do and then you get. You do and then you get. You do and then you get. You screw up and then you get punished. You screw up and you get punished. And what did you have to do? What you had to do in the law is come and bring a goat or a sheep or something and have blood on the altars. And it was good for 1 year. And then you went back and did it. We do that all the time with Jesus. We say, well, I got to go back and I got to do this. We're saying that his blood is the same as the blood of a sheep or a goat or something. It doesn't cover everything. We have to keep going back. His blood was good enough to cover not just our sins, but our sins past, present, and future. And not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. It says that he paid not for our sins, but for the sins of the world. It was all covered. So now sin doesn't send you to hell. Because it was all paid for. What sends you to hell is not knowing Jesus Christ.
Come on, brother.
Not accepting his gift.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it says that I am the truth, the way, and the life, that nobody enters into heaven, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And we add so many if, ands, and buts about it. Where anything added to Jesus is not the gospel.
Right.
We try to say, well, you come to Jesus, and then you've got to do this, 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 and this, and this. And that's good to do. That is good to do so that you can reach your 30, 60, and 100 fold, but not to get into heaven and not for the blood of Jesus. It says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. And there was a period after that. And we try to erase the period and add, well, you've also got to do this, this, and this. And we add so much to the gospel. Think about it. So once you finally get that revelation, after renewing your mind and you get that revelation, now you can begin to pray different. You can pray with authority. You can pray with power. Your prayer life changes. Because if you know that you're the righteousness of Christ and that he paid it all and he's not angry at you, he's not upset at you. You know, grace was even in the Old Testament. We talked about this at dinner last night. Grace was in the New. Cain killed Abel right away. What did God do to Cain? Nothing. He said, well, if anybody touches you or anybody hurts you, I will deal with them. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. The law wasn't even there yet. God is grace. The law came in to show that you need a Savior. And so, once you realize that, then you can start to pray different and pray with authority. And instead of sitting back and begging God for something, there's a couple things in your praying, because people pray wrong all the time. All the time. One, you can never get God to do something he already did.
Alright.
Number two, you can pray all you want for it. You can never get him to do something he's already done. Number two, you can never get him to do something he commanded you to do.
Oh yeah.
So figure those two out. Because he said, go lay hands on the sick and go heal the sick. He didn't say go pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick. Cast out demons in my name. Those who believe will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up certain. He went through it. It was a command. And we were like, God, go do this. God, why won't you send revival here? Well, I told you to go and preach the gospel to every nation. Why are you telling me to do what I told you to do? I paid for it all. I empowered you. I sent my Holy Spirit. I sent my Son who paid a high price. And I gave him everything. And he gave everything to you. You have dominion and power and authority on earth. And now I commanded you to do it. And you're asking me to do it?
Yeah.
I will be with you. Go. And I will be with you. And I will move in power with you. Because we're a co-team in this effort to change the world. But we can never convince God. And we sit there and we're like, God, pray. Here's the thing. Know the word. A lot of times we'll pray and we're like, God, be with me today. We start off all of our prayer. God, will you be with me today? God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So switch your prayer into, God, I thank you you are with me today. God, I thank you for being with me and moving in power today. Change it. God, you know my bills. God, you know that I need healing. God, will you please heal me? Will you please do this? Will you please do that? It says that he will take care of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not just your riches and glory, his riches and glory. Your needs are met according to his riches and glory. So you praying that way is not going to do anything. You can line up with his word and say, God, I thank you. God, it's tight right now, but I thank you that you paid for it all. God, I thank you for a new job. God, I thank you that increase is coming. God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you for that. God, I'm struggling with this right now, but you said that by your stripes you were healed. And so I thank you for healing. I thank you for deliverance in my body. God, I thank you that your blood is over my life and that I've got a new covenant and that the curse is no longer there. Think about it. It changes your prayer life. We sit there and we're like, God, won't you heal me? Well, I said by my stripes you were healed. God, won't you do this? I paid it all. And we just changed our thinking. I've heard so many people, they come up and with their stuff, they're just like, you know, well, I'm sick. Well, I'm this. Well, I'm that. Well, I'm just, I get that you're feeling that right now, but just start speaking life over yourself for a bit. Just start speaking over your, whatever it is that, you know, we come up and the first thing we say to people, I had it the other day, I met a guy and I'm like, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty bad. You know, this there and this there. And you're like, oh my goodness, I can't listen to any much more. Like, I'm sure that that's what's really going on in his life. But it's like, if you just speak that over your life, well, I've got a curse and my finances are there. I'm broke. I've always been broke. I'm going to be broke. And so you're like, why are you saying that stuff? You know, the word of God, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so when you speak stuff over you, even like when it rains, it pours, it's not bad, it's worse. Well, of course it is. You're prophesying over your life. Yeah. Well, I've been believing for this for a long time. It's not going to happen. I'm just, you know, whatever. Switch the way you're just praying about it and just change it. Well, and it sounds so stupid. It really does. Because you're like, you know, I was feeling sick a couple months ago with like, I just didn't want to get out of bed, had a fever, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, I'd rather teach on healing than practice it. And you sit there in bed and you're like, no, I'm healed. Jesus paid for this and I don't have to do this. And you're like, but I still feel sick. No, but I've been healed and I've been, and it takes a little bit, but within hours I was up and running around. But it's a process of like, it messes with your head because you're saying something that goes against what your body's saying. And it's a process because you're like, well, I'm healed. No, I'm not. Look at me. I'm healed. No, I'm not. Look at me. And it just takes a bit for you to work up and take that word into faith. I don't believe it right now, but I'm just saying it. But that's okay because the more you say it, the world even takes this. This biblical principles. So a man thinks, so he is. Biblical principle. The world takes that and they're like, that's true and it works and we're going to make money off of it. So they come up with positivity classes. Think about it. That you go and you pay $150 to go to a conference for the weekend and they teach you to think happy thoughts. They teach you to speak positivity over your life. And all these people are being successful because they're using the word of God. But it's in a different way. They're speaking life over themselves. And the world's like, hey, this works. We're going to use that. So when you start to pray different, look at the way that Jesus prayed. I could hear a pin drop. Mark, can I get an amen? All right. Think of the way that Jesus prayed, and then look at the way that the disciples prayed, and now look at the way that the church prays in 2019. Jesus walked up. He didn't beg God for one thing. He didn't plead with God for anything. In fact, his prayer life was just him and God talking back and forth, hanging out, fellowshipping. He wasn't like, dear God, what am I going to do with these guys? One of them wants to kill me. He's stealing from me. These other ones, they don't have faith. He's going to deny me 3 times. Oh, God, it's bad. No. This is Jesus' prayer life was this, or when he was praying for people. Stand up and walk. Your faith has made you healed. And the one time he prayed, I love this. Lazarus, dead for 3 days, comes up to Lazarus. He's like, Lord, I know that you hear me. I'm praying for you because so these people understand we're good. Got it. Okay. Lazarus, come on out. Like, that was the extent of his prayer life. So he did it, and then the disciples did the same thing. Silver and gold, I don't have. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Like, hey, you are healed. get up and walk.
Amen.
Blind eyes see, deaf ears open. The disciples prayed the same way. 2019, God, where are you? Rend the heavens and come on down. Help us, Lord. Where are you? Have you abandoned us? No, I'm inside of you. I said I'd never leave you or forsake you. Okay. Think about it. We pray different. Once you understand who you are in Christ, and you look at the way, study the way that they prayed, and they spoke to the situation. Why do you think that God said that if you speak to a mountain, the mountain will move? He wasn't just being funny. He was just saying, speak to your problems. I mean, even Jesus spoke to the storm and said, be still.
Right.
Think about it. There's some storms in your life you need to speak to. There's some situations in your life you need to speak to and believe over. Once you begin to pray different and you start to see that, look at the way that we talked a little bit about this 2 days ago, but even the Lord's Prayer. I think it's so powerful. We read over it so fast, and I've been to many religious churches where you just repeat it, and even the pastor is like, stand up, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you're like, why are we at church if this is church?
Come on, man.
You know what I mean? There's no power in this building. We are just here to punch our time clock and say we went to church and we're out to see who can get to Arby's fastest. You know? So think about this. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven. And we talked about this. Him saying, he's your Father now. You don't need to be ashamed. You just ask him and he will hear you. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, which is holy as your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We miss that part. We just speed right over it. God, your will be done here on earth, because as are you, so are we in this earth.
Yeah. Good.
Think about it. Jesus didn't die to get you into heaven. Jesus died to get heaven into you.
Yeah.
It's true. I'm trying to give you power, trying to give you breakthrough, trying to give you everything. He died to get heaven into you so that you could change the world. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's important. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Four things that Jesus was teaching them what to pray. Pray. When you start, give God praise. Give God praise. When you're going to pray, give him praise. You don't need to sit there, God, I've got a list, but I've got to be to work in 5 minutes, so here's my list of things that I really need right now. No, give him praise at the beginning. Then pray the kingdom to earth. Anything that the word says, you can pray. So you take the word and use it as a weapon when you pray. Think about that. You repeat back God's words to him. He loves it. You can use scripture when you pray. God, you said in your word, in John, whatever, whatever, that when this happens, and this happens, and I've got a covenant with you, God, and this is your words, and I can stand on it, God. So I thank you for that. There's power in that. When you're praying the word, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. And when you pray the word, and you align with what Jesus did, and you're speaking that and praying it to, mountains move. So, pray the kingdom of God. You're praying heaven to earth. And then, third, forgiveness. You know, ask God for forgiveness. God, there's stuff that we're here. Checking your heart. And then keeping Satan off of you and off of your stuff. You can rebuke the devourer now. And so that's what God was teaching his disciples to pray. So, those are the three things. And then fourth way to get results in life is to believe. And we think that that's super simple. Just believe. But it's not. Think about this for a moment. In James 1, it's 2 through 8, it says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Let me stop right there for a moment. God does not put you into trials. And right here it says, count it joy when you fall into trials. It's not God putting you, we fall into trials. So it's not God's like, hey, let's push them over the edge. No, there's things that happens in our own our own lust, our own griefs, we'll fall into temptation. But he says, count it all joy, my brothers, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and completing, lacking nothing. I agree with that. We are lacking nothing now. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without reproach. God gives liberally. He gives like a liberal. We don't like liberals, but he gives like a... No, I'm just kidding. You can attack me later for that one, but... without reproach, and let it be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let a man that suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. There's many things to this double-minded man. It is the law, and it is the new covenant. It is you're asking, and then you're doubting. So I believe, God, you paid for it all, and then you throw it back on yourself with the law. It is all of that, of going back and forth in your thought process. You're a double-minded man. You're thinking two different things. We talked about faith creating, and your faith is actually producing and breaking through for you, but then your doubt will stop production on it. So look at Peter. We talked about Peter at your church when we were there on Sunday in May. But Peter is walking on the water, and he says to Jesus, he says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And he says, come. And so right then and there, we know that man can't walk on water, but Peter got out of the boat in the middle of a storm and started walking on the water. So Peter really wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the Word of God. But I love it what Jesus says. He says, why did you doubt? Or ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And I first read it, I'm like, why would you say ye of little faith? He got out of the boat onto water, which hasn't never happened before. In the middle of a storm, it wasn't calm, it wasn't whatever, wind, waves crashing. I'm sure he went up to the edge, a wave came, he moved. Then he tried to get out, you know, it's raining and blowing, and so he steps out. That's not little faith. That's a lot of faith. I couldn't do it. But he said, he got out of the boat and started to walk, and then Jesus said, you have little faith, why did you doubt? So he wasn't talking about the size of his faith, because the size, it can be a mustard seed and it can move a mountain. Amen? He was talking about the duration of his faith. It didn't last. He came forward, and then it lasted, and he started to sink. So he got out of the boat, saw, I'm really doing it. How am I doing this? I don't know how I'm doing this, and began to sink. And so it was, our faith needs to last. It's not about the amount of faith, because it doesn't take a lot of faith to say, God, I don't even know how this is going to work anymore, but I'll at least go up and try. That's not a lot of faith, but it's enough to get you up forward. But when you come forward and you get prayed, when you're heading back, are you saying, there's another time it didn't work? There's another time I went forward and it didn't work. When the word says that lay hands on the sick and they will recover, you might be heading back recovering, but as soon as you say it didn't work, the devil won again in your mind. I've had people, I don't even know if I should say that, Mark Stewart from Audio Adrenaline, can I say that? I mean, I was standing with him, and he said, if I have one more person, he lost his voice. He was a lead singer of a big band. He lost his voice. He said, if I have one more person pray for me for healing, I don't even know what I'll do to them. My dad said to me, my dad has ringing in his ears. He said, if one more person tells me I'm healed, I will deck him. And there's not much I can do with that. But when you've gone through time and time and time again, it's hard to believe again. It's hard to have faith again. It's hard to step forward in faith because you said, I've had 20 years of something. How can I believe again, God? And you go up there, hands are laid on you, you received healing, and you go back and say, it didn't work again. And it's hard to fight that. Up here, this is where the enemy will attack us every single time, is in your head. He's never going to jump out and hit you with a bat. He'll attack you in your head all day, every day, because if you start fighting thoughts with thoughts, you've lost. Because the word is greater than anything else. And if the word says it, you can stand on it. You can literally get out of a boat in the water and walk in a storm if the word says it. But we get that faith to move forward, and then it didn't happen the way that we thought it should or would. And instead of going back and saying, I'm going to stand on this promise if I need to stand on it for the next week, month, or year, I'm going to stand on it and say, thank you, God, for my healing. I was prayed for and I received healing, God, and I thank you that it's manifesting in my body right now. You may not even believe it for the first week. But push through it. Push through it. Because why not speak life? You've already tried it for how many years the other way and it didn't do anything. Why not try it the other way and see if God doesn't show you that his word is greater than the word of anything else?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
We need to push through in faith and try again. It's time to believe again, church.
Yes,
it's time to just put our faith into action and give God another shot.
Let's go.
We feel like we didn't receive the way that we thought we should have before. When he paid it all, and we didn't receive correctly, and again, now we get into condemnation because it didn't happen the way. We go sit back, and we're like, well, I know that I was paid for, so now I must be doing something wrong. And so, what am I doing wrong? And what instead of just getting in that rest again, you see what I'm saying? I know a pastor who is very, very hardcore on this teaching, but he's religious about it, where he is so right on, best teacher on healing I have ever heard. More miracles than I've ever seen. Rooms full of wheelchairs. All kinds of stuff, like crazy. Never been sick in whatever years. He had cancerous boil behind his ear. Bubble. And people would say, you might want to get that checked out. He's like, what checked out? I'm healed. I don't know. You might want, like, dripping blood and stuff. Like, you might want to get that. I'm healed. I've been healed. And walked around until it fell off. Fell off. I don't know what to do with that kind of stuff. It literally just fell off. But he said it long enough, even while it still stood there and bled on his shirt. And he still said he was healed. And he was done. But here's where religion comes in. His kids, if they were sick and they were laying in bed, he would spank them if they didn't get out of bed and declare they were healed. Right revelation, wrong application. Very easy to get into religious with that stuff because you're right. Like, they can get up, they can do this, whatever. But it's still like, have grace with people. Have grace with people because we're all just doing the best that we can to walk through this life. And we need to help each other. And iron sharpens iron. I'm going to help you, and you're going to tell me something that I never even thought of before. And we all grow together. Everybody's at a different walk in their life. Some people are brand new Christians that didn't know much, but God's delivered them and brought them through so much and delivered them and set them free. And then when the devil tries to get them back down and said that you're nothing and you're not going to do something, you say, no, I am the righteousness of Christ, and I don't have to put up with that because that is not me anymore. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Yeah, but you just screwed up again. No, that doesn't matter because I'm still the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And if I fall down 100 times, I'm going to stand up 100 more times. And every time I mess up, it's not going to put me farther away from God, but I'm going to run closer to him every time because he set me free.
Amen.
It's that easy. There might have been a little extra in there for you. But there's freedom in the word. And let's not get religious with it, but let's just come like little children to God and say, what do you got for me?
Oh, wow.
What do you got for me? My little kids, they come up to me. I promise you, going to Walmart with my 4 little kids, they think they're getting something. Dad, you're coming back from speaking for the week? What are you bringing us? They expect something from their father. We need to come as children, expecting something from our Father. Like he's going to tell us no. Like he's going to tell us no. Especially when he's paid for it. Like he's going to say, no, I want you to suffer for a little bit more. I want you to sit in that a little bit longer. We may not get it perfect every single time. We may not understand whatever. We may not receive it the way that we thought we were going to, but we can still walk it out, or it can be a miracle in the first second that it happens, and it can happen. It can be the biggest thing. I've seen people jump out of wheelchairs and start running around. I don't understand it. I've prayed for a girl with a deaf ear, and it opened up, and she started bawling because she was hit in the head with a pipe when she was 3 years old. I don't understand it, but I know the word, and I know what it says, and so I just have to be obedient. And it's easy to get religious with this. I heard a pastor say one time, what happens if you're praying for somebody and for healing, and they drop over dead? He said, I would step over them and pray for the next person.
Wow.
And you're like, why do you say? He's like, if I heal somebody, do I get any credit for it? Then why do I get credit if it didn't happen? I'm just faithful to the word. I'm faithful to what God said. And it's a muscle. And it'll happen more often and more often and more often. And we practice with the little things, and the bigger things become easy. And then we can help other people around, because your faith is built up. You're like, I know what you're struggling with, but I've already dealt with this, 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 and this. And that's no problem. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of that tonight?
Yeah,
glory.
If you get any four of those wrong, as far as just not right, like if you haven't renewed your mind, things won't work the way they should. If you don't know who you are in Christ, it's going to be very difficult. If you're praying incorrectly, it's very hard to get results when you're not agreeing with the word. If you're praying against the word or asking God to do something that he told you to do, or that he's already, it's hard to work. And then if you receive but don't believe, they don't work. You need all four of them to work. And there again, there's no condemnation. We all grow through this. And it's not like step one, step two. So we're working on all four at the same time all of our lives.
Amen.
We can have a breakthrough and we're like, God, it will be peaches and cream from the rest of my life. But then the next thing hits us in the next, and you got to start over. And you start over because it is renewing your mind daily to the word. Unless you've got the gift of faith, and then I don't want to talk to you.